Please turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 16. And don't look at me now like I'm very crazy to start with this verse, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart while worshiping. I did not even plan on starting there. I planned on continuing the message from there, but I trust that the Lord was in it. So, Matthew 16, verse 23. That's where we start. But he, Yeshua, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Abba, I pray that we will, if at all possible in this flesh, human flesh, that we will be less and less mindful of the things of the world and more mindful of your things, God. Bless my lips, Abba, I pray, B'Shem Yeshua, that you will just flow through me. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I welcome you to take control, full control, of my body, of my spirit, soul. Now, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yeah, those of you who have been in the first session, or how shall I call it, Sunday class? Yeah. We talked about how close we are at the end, to the end times, yeah, and if it was recorded, then you can take that, whatever, you can listen to it later on, but I say that we are at the end time, and that the end and the beginning are the same. Okay, they are connected because it's cyclical and not linear. The end and the beginning are very, very connected. And Paul, whenever he warned the people, you know, concerning the conduct of life as believers, he always turned back to the beginning. He always took examples from the Torah, from the first five books of the Bible, and from the writings, from the Psalms, etc., etc. Yeah, prophets, of course. And I want to take you on a journey which actually starts 2,000 years ago in the Gospel of John. So turn, and we will pick up on where we just started. I'm not leaving you with, "Get behind me, Satan." Okay? I know it's quite shocking. It was a shock for me. But please remember, please put your finger there and remember that why he called Peter, Satan. By the way, Satan is not private name nor sure name. Satan is a descriptive name in Hebrew. Okay? Who stood before the donkey of Bileam? It was the angel of the Lord. Now, politically correct translation, at least in the New King James Bible that I'm reading, yeah, said over there in the book of Numbers, in this portion of scriptures when God opened, you know, eventually opened the mouth of the donkey to speak. Why the donkey moved and, you know, and did what it did? Because it saw the angel of the Lord, not Satan. But while the Hebrew says that the angel of the Lord became Satan to Bileam, politically corrected, it was translated, he became an adversary to him. The word is Satan. Whoever actually resists God's word and stands between you and God's word, or between you and God's calling on your life, is Satan. Of course, we know it does not take away that there is a personality, or, you know, a person named the Satan, the adversary, the liar, the cheater, the murderer, okay? But we all can be little Satans. Ooh, yes, we can. Otherwise, he would not call Peter Satan. Whoever disagrees with God's calling, with God's word, is a Satan, little Satan. To calm you down, let's put little s. Okay? So, why did he call Peter Satan, beloved? You don't need me to tell you. It says, the Bible interprets itself. For you are not For you are an offense to me. When are we offense to Yeshua? When we are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Keep it in mind. When we are not mindful of the things of God, but rather mindful of the things of men, we are becoming little Satans. Terrible thoughts, right? But it is biblical, nevertheless. Now, let's go to John, the Gospel of John. And I, again, praying what to give you, that's what the Lord put on my heart. And as you notice, no notes, nothing, because I didn't have even time to prepare, okay, because I'm running from place to place. But God's Holy Spirit is still in control, hallelujah, especially when I asked Him to be. So, beloved, this is what I got the impression that God wants me to take you to. The end, the beginning and the end are the same. And I said in the morning that before each breakthrough in the life of the believer, like the life of the first congregation, the first ecclesia, called out ones, the children of Israel, yeah? When they were called out of Egypt, yeah? Each time, even before the Exodus itself, things intensified around them. Remember? The plagues. Okay? Pharaoh's stubbornness. You know, Pharaoh's putting more work on them. Then, you know, I mean, everything gets very, very stressful and intensified before any breakthrough that we have. So, do we really want breakthroughs in our lives? It's not a rhetorical ask, a question. Come on, I'm a Jewish teacher. I like you to cooperate with me. Come on. How many of you would like a breakthrough? We pray that really, really the Holy Spirit will control this meeting. Will do what He wills, right, to do. But there is a key without which the Holy Spirit will not work for us. That's the message today. What is the key to allow the Holy Spirit to work for us? To give us the fruits that we so much desire. Oh, peace, joy. Okay? What is the key? That's what we're going to talk about today. So, the context of John chapter 12. The context is 6 days before the feast, which is the picture of our redemption out of Egypt. And if you wish, out of Egypt, this world. If you wish, even more, out of the things that we need breakthrough. Okay? Out of the things that bother us. Out of the things which are Satan to us. Okay? Which are standing between us and our progress with the Lord. Feast of Passover is the feast of redemption. Getting out of this distress, which is Egypt. Egypt is distress in Hebrew. Metzar, Mitzrayim. Yeah. This distresses in its plural. Yeah. So, this is the context. How do I know? Here, the Bible tells me so. It was 6 days before the Passover. Yeah. Yeshua came to Bethany. And guess what? This is not the message here. I'm just giving it to you to build the context for you. It's just before the Feast of Redemption. Okay? What else happens during this, or within this context, is in verse 20. Turn with me, please, to verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And the first question is he speaking about Jewish Greeks, Jews who came from Greece, because the feast was celebrated, of course, this is the first pilgrimage feast, right? We have Passover, we have Pentecost, and we have Tabernacles, where we Jews were commanded to go up to Jerusalem to show our face before the Lord, okay? So, who are those Greeks? Now, you know, I mean, with such a good teacher like you have, Brent, you know that the Hebraic thought is not only cyclical, but numbers are important, and every jot and tittle are important. Jot is yod, actually, the smallest letter in the alphabet, okay, yod, if you know the alphabet. And tittle, you know what tittle is? The decoration, when you go to open a Torah scroll, the decoration above the sheen, above the letters, is the tittles. Even those are, according to Yeshua, important. Even those are Holy Spirit inspired, if you wish. Do you see what I mean? So we cannot read and just overlook it. Okay, some few Greeks. So what? Let's go on. Okay. No, no, no. Who are those Greeks? Now in Yeshua's time, there are not only Jews coming to worship the Lord, but there are some Gentiles. I know it's a very revolutionary to some of you idea. Gentiles? Oh yes. Ah, you mean converts? No. I mean Gentiles were called God-fearing Gentiles. I can prove it in the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, one of which was Cornelius. He was not just a Gentile, a Roman centurion. He was a God-fearing one. And they, actually in the synagogues, they had special place for not converts, but God, you know, not circumcised, uncircumcised. Gentiles, complete Gentiles, but they really, really wanted to follow the God of Israel. So it could be that those are the Greeks, okay, which are mentioned here. Let's continue. Then they came to Philip. Why Philip and not other? I mean, we have 12 disciples, right? Why not to one of the closest ones to Yeshua? One of the three? Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. Who cares? I'm teaching you how to read in between the lines, beloved. Who cares? I'm talking not to you, to John. John, why are you bothering with all those little details? Okay, he was from Bethsaida. Thank you. Will you now tell me how old he was? Come on, it's not important. Get to the point. I'm talking to John. So John continues. Bethsaida and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Yeshua. Philip came and told Andrew, another disciple. And in turn, Andrew and Philip told Yeshua. And you know the next verse. Of course, Yeshua took his iPad. Look at the calendar. You know, when he has a space open. And he say, let's meet in Cheesecake Factory. I have a sermon. I finished now and in about 20 minutes meet me over there. So they can see me, right? Yeshua attends to the needs of Greeks, Gentiles, not Gentiles, Jews, you know, everybody. Right? Yeshua is sweet. Really? I never understood till God revealed it to me, you know, in this context of this message. Yeshua does not even answer the question. What is the question? Or their request? Yeshua, some Greeks ask to see you. Look at his strange answer. But Yeshua answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Where I am, remember this, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. What a strange answer. Again, remember the context. Yeshua, some Greeks are there over there, you know, they are God-fearing, they are Jews, never mind. They want to see you. Then he speaks about something completely out of context. was it really out of context? Did Yeshua speak any time out of context? Sometimes to our mind, yeah? But we need to stretch out and get out of the box to his box and ask him, why? Why, Yeshua, you answered? And I got this. I'm a believer of over 35 years now. First time I understand it, I admit. And I share with you just the revelation that God gave me just a day or two ago, my friends. Maybe for you it won't be a revelation. You will say, what a immature believer. Brent, who you put on the stage? I mean, I understood this. Bless you that you understood it before me. Hallelujah. But I promise you there are some other things that God revealed to me before to you. So we are not in a competition here, okay? But for me it is a great revelation. How, look at me, how many of you wish to see Yeshua? Do you really want to see him? Do you really want a breakthrough in your life? You need to let him kill you. What in the world am I talking about? Matthew 16. I hope you left your finger there. Matthew 16. There is no other way to see Yeshua unless you are where he is. You cannot, I mean, your ministry, quote unquote, whatever it is, jail ministry, whatever, good ministries, I'm not looking down, those will not be the key for you to see Yeshua. Yeshua's face, which will turn you and put his glory on you, like Moses in the mountain, do you remember? When you are in his presence, I mean, people will notice it. Are you with me? The children of Israel saw Moses and they could not even look at him because his face was so shining. Would you like this experience with Yeshua? Did you notice that Moses supernaturally, every doctor will tell you it's abnormal. It cannot be medically wise. You can survive only 3 days without water. With food, without food, some more. Moses is there twice. No food, no water. Read the Bible. Death is completely dead to his physique. You know what I mean? To his physical needs. Because he's in his presence. This is the key to being in his presence. You cannot be in Yeshua's presence with your junk. You must. That's why we must come to him on our knees. That's why whenever in the Bible people had revelation of God, the priest, for example, in the dedication of the temple, did they stand there, hallelujah, Adonai, yeah. No, they were boof on their faces. In revelation. That went holy, holy. I can never hear holy, holy and stand, holy, holy, holy. Because I must imagine myself before the real throne. And before the real throne, you cannot, your body will not hold you even. You must die. Okay, you must die to your own self. Otherwise, you cannot get to the next level he brings you to. Matthew 16. Let's elaborate on it. Matthew 16 is a beloved chapter in Christianity. Why is it? Because here we can put, we can, you know, in our creed, whatever church we are, we can put, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son. What am I basing it on? Here, Peter's confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeah, let's write it on our statement of faith. It has nothing to do with creeds. It has nothing to do with statement of faith. It has to do with, get behind me, Satan. Let's go into deeper water, shall we? I know you know this by heart, this section of scriptures, that verse 13, Matthew 16:13. When Yeshua came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, did you know that Bethsaida was on the east side of the Jordan River? I mean, Brent, you know, because you have been a thousand times in Israel. I'm a tour guide, so I know. Yeah? Bethsaida, back in Yeshua's time, belonged to Philippus. That's why Caesarea Philippi. Yeah? Philippus, one of Herod the Great's sons. Okay? He had Archelaus, he had Antipas, and he had Philippi, or Philippus. Did you notice the Greeks are coming to where? To Philippus. Philippus, Phileo, love, Hippos, horse lover, yeah? A nobleman, because those who could afford to have horses were usually the rich people, yeah? Andrei, Philippus goes to Andrei, the brave one. Are you brave enough to go to Yeshua? And who are the ones who ask to see Yeshua? Also noblemen, because Greeks were the ones who were back then. After all, everyone spoke Greek. Are you with me? Greek was the English of today. Do you see it? I mean, noble people. We are talking about people who think that it's very cheap. It's a good deal to see Yeshua's face. Do you get it? Hey, Philippus, a nobleman. You're like, And we are in the region predominated by Greeks, by the way. We have the Decapolis there, we have Philippi. To begin with, why Yeshua asks the $1 million question? Whom do people think that say that I am? Why he asks it there and not in the other side of the Jordan? Because on the other side of the Jordan, if somebody will hear them and will hear Peter's confession, they will immediately bring the crown and want to crown his king, long before. Are you with me? Long before he paid the price for us to be our real king, the king of our soul, our very soul. They are in a predominated Greek area. Are you listening? And those are the Greeks. That's why the Greeks, in the first place, come to a Greek named person, Philippus. And Andrei, also Greek. It's in Greek. Brave man. Do you see the connection? Do you see how every jot and tittle are fitting into the picture? We want a good deal. We want a very cheap deal, quick deal. We want to see Yeshua. Now you understand why Yeshua answered the way he answered? He answered the question. In first sight, it sounds like Yeshua. Excuse me, you don't answer my question. He did answer the question. You really want to see me? You need to be where I am. You cannot develop your own ministry out of my will. You need to be where I am. Let's get into deep water. So, it is when Yeshua came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say, Martin Luther King, others say John Wells, or you know, of course not. Yohanan the Immerser, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. It's Jewish context. Okay? There are no Gentiles involved here in Matthew 16. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? My friends, like I said before, Yeshua, and I believe God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, care less about our creeds. They care about character. They care about the content, the essence, which is behind what comes out of those two lips. Whom Do you say that I am? Do you think he wanted them to write it and stick it nicely, frame it nicely, and say, I believe in Yeshua that he is the Son of the Messiah, the Son of the living God?
No!
Yeshua cares about your PhD or master degree or whatever. Yeshua cares for your actions. Whom do you say that I am? You are the Son of the living God. Really? Now what are you going to do with your own confession? That's why he asks it. Let's continue. But who do you say that I am? You, my disciples, whom do you think I am? Peter, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Why in the world does he say to him? Why Yeshua said what he said just now to Peter? Blessed you are, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. So Peter's blood will not go up into his mind. I can imagine Peter, you know, among the others. I'm more spiritual than you, otherwise the Father would not. I was first. I beat you. Yes, I said it first. Really? Calm down, Mr. Simon Peter. It is not, it does not depend on your logic. In your brain, in this box, something outside your box needed to reveal this spiritual truth of who I am indeed. So calm down. And I want to encourage you. You preach to your parents, to your dear ones, to your Jewish dentist. Stubborn, they don't get it, don't get it. Why don't you just shut up, get behind your door, close it, get on your face, and beg God's mercy on the one, the stubborn one. Because it's anyway not your words. It's by revelation to know who Yeshua is. Are you with me? Who blinded the Jews, my brethren? Not Satan, God. So you can come in. You see what I mean? It's revelation. Unless God takes the veil, spiritual veil, no one can come to him. Amen? So why in the world does he ask the question to begin with? Whom do you say that I am? Let's make a leap a little bit. And into verse 21. Actually, verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Messiah, the Yeshua, the Messiah. Why? It's not his time yet to be crowned. That's why, as I've already said, and I again will say, that's why to begin with, he starts with this discussion on the other side of the Jordan, where it is predominated by Greeks who care less about Messiah or God. They believe in many, many gods, thousands of them, but not in the real true God. Do you see what I mean? They care less about the Messiah. From that time, Yeshua began, did you notice? From that time, after he revealed himself as who he is really, the anointed, the Son of the living God, he starts to tell them that if they will follow him, you don't need the Bible, I know it by heart, just look at me. He tells them, hallelujah, because you believe that I'm, you will get a new Cadillac, wonderful raise in your salary, in your jobs, yeah? And before the troubles come, you will be snapped out. No worries, no troubles, no nothing. Hallelujah, tranquility, Alaska, cruise. And this, and that, Hawaii. Really? Wherever I am,